I wonder what Christmas means to a mother who's lost her husband, who has 3 or 4 children. She goes to work every day, never getting everything done, especially this time of the year, never being able to make ends meet. I wonder what Christmas means to that mother who's a widow. I wonder what Christmas means to the 80-year-old man in Zimbabwe, living in a hut with dirt floors, who knows nothing of American shopping malls, nothing of all the things of Christmas, knows nothing about Christmas trees. I wonder what Christmas would mean to them. I wonder what it means to the North Korean little child. The North Korean child who isn't taught about Jesus, who lives with rice every day, dirty little cheeks, but eyes that light up when they see you. But what would Christmas mean to them? And then I wonder how, have you ever been alone at Christmas? I remember my wife and I were one time alone at Christmas. And we weren't with our family. For the first time in our lives, we were not with our family. We had each other. We were down in Pensacola, Florida. And we had nothing, humanly speaking. We had each other. But we really missed our families. You ever been alone? Christmases can be one of a hard time for people. And this is why we go out to carol. Because there are people who are all alone at Christmas. They don't have anyone. And we need to certainly share Christmas with people like that. But Christmas means different things to different people. To the merchants of business, it's the busiest time of their year. Stores stay open longer, they hire more people to accommodate the masses and masses of shoppers. And it means more profit, hopefully. Enough profit to see them through the lean times of the rest of the year. For some employees, it means a Christmas bonus. And though I was talking to somebody recently who received a generous Christmas bonus, and you know, a Christmas bonus means a lot to people at Christmas. For teenagers and adults like us, it's a time of fun and parties. For children, remember when you were a child and it was Christmas? When did you start thinking about Christmas? New Year's, yeah. But as a child, you think about Christmas and impatiently wait. And you just wait and wait and wait. Can't wait for Christmas to come to get your presents. But you ever think about this? And this happened. There was a group that had a party. And it was a special party to recognize one of their good friends. And they all came together to this party. Right? And they noticed that the person they were having the party for wasn't there. And they then realized that nobody had thought to invite him. Can you imagine? That's a little bit the way Christmas is oftentimes. We have parties. We have family gatherings. We spend thousands of dollars on Christmas gifts for our families. And we don't invite Jesus. We give Jesus maybe a small gift. But do you ever stop and think it's his birthday? It's his birthday. And I think that every person in this room should give the best gift to him. Should give the largest gift to him. It's his birthday. The child was asked, "Did you get everything you wanted for Christmas?" And the child said, "No, but it wasn't my birthday." It's his birthday. You know, people in church sometimes, we take a missionary offering at Christmas. And I realize that we take an offering for the pastors. But we take a missionary offering that we'll take on Christmas Eve. And that missionary offering will go to support these families that you've been watching on the videos. People who are serving as a servant of God in missionary countries where the gospel is not very often even preached. We live in a country where you can turn on a radio 24/7 and hear the gospel or the TV. But you know, there's countries where people have never even heard the gospel explained to them. And these missionaries are there giving their lives. And it's our opportunity to give a generous gift to Jesus. Now, I must admit that even I love to give gifts to others, to children. I especially love to give gifts to children who I know will not maybe get as much. And to give them a gift that I've done that all my life at Christmas. But Christmas is a time of giving to Jesus. But what is Christmas? What was Christmas to the shepherds? But I would like to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, we read the announcement of the angel of the Lord of the birth of Jesus to the shepherds. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, "Now there were in the same country," that is around Bethlehem, "shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory," that is the light, "the bright light of the glory of God shined around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" Now, the fact that God made the announcement to shepherds reveals something in my mind about God. Please, this is very important. What does the announcement that came to the shepherds reveal about God and his thinking? And it's this: that God is especially concerned for the very common people of this world. In fact, the shepherds received the real meaning of Christmas that evening. And the shepherds were at the opposite end of the social strata from King Herod, from all the influential people of that day. They lived in fields with their animals. They weren't respected. They had no power. They had no political clout, by the way. They had no power. They had no prestige. There was nothing about them that would be desirous. Yet God's angel, when it came to announcing the good news of the greatest event that would ever happen in human history, the greatest event that ever would ever happen in human history, who did God choose to reveal it to? These lowly shepherds. He didn't reveal it to the king, although he did later. He didn't reveal it to the Pharisees, the religious crowd. He revealed it to the everyday people of life. In fact, the lower of society. And in that simple choice, I believe, God showed something about His heart. And it's this. God cares about the people on earth that are looked at as cast-offs. God cares about the people on the earth that are looked at as down-and-outers, cast-off. We don't need these people. He cares about them deeply. God knows, and my first point is God knows you, and you are important to Him. No matter how insignificant you may think you are, no matter how insignificant you may think you are in this world, God knows you and God loves you. You know, there's 7 billion people. We turned over 7 billion people on the earth. Now that's a lot of people. And God looks at the least of these people. And He reveals Himself to them when He's born. What does that say about the person of God? What does that say about the person of God? To me, it says that He's not looking for people with money. He's not looking for people in nice houses. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's looking for everyone. But He has especially an eye for those who are the brokenhearted people of this world. And I know that that may not be a popular message even in the church. But the truth of the matter is, it's still true. All throughout Scripture we see God honoring and using people and things that the world often overlooks or ignores. Look with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 reveals something about the heart and mind of God when it comes to revealing Himself to them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 26. Paul writes, "For you see your calling, brethren." He's talking to Christians. "You see your calling, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base or the lowly things of this world, the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are nothing, to bring to nothing the things that are, and that no flesh should glory in His presence." You see, God knows you and you are important to Him. And the reason I know that is because this world has many people in it like the shepherds. The shepherds were common people. And I just think that God reveals something about Himself in that truth. Think about in Scripture the people that God chose. Think about this. He chose a teenage boy to be sold into Egypt. He was ripped from his parents' arms, sold into slavery by his brothers, and carted off to Egypt as a slave, to be a slave of a wealthy man. He becomes the object of a scorned woman. He's lied about, thrown into an Egyptian prison. Think about the condition, your condition in an Egyptian prison. Think about his condition there. Locked away in an Egyptian prison. There's probably no lower place in the world to be put off and put into. Yet when God wanted a deliverer to bring interpretation to mighty Pharaoh's dream, it was this slave, Joseph, who was brought out of a dungeon to interpret the message. God uses the lowly and the despised to show his power. Who was it that Jesus chose? One day he had taught all day, came to the end of the day, and the disciples came to Jesus and said, you need to take off. It's supper time. Remember that? It's supper time, Jesus. Send them away. And Jesus said, you feed them. And what did Jesus use to feed 5,000 men plus their women and children? He used a little boy's lunch that his mother had packed that morning. God uses the littlest of people, the most insignificant of people in the mind of the world to confound and puzzle the worldly wise. And that's why there's hope for you and me. That's why there's hope for the person who feels that they've never amounted to anything. That maybe you've wasted your life to this stage. I want you to know that God can take your life and he can change your life and he can give you a hope and a future. Just like I think he did with those shepherds. The reason he chose the shepherds is because he does choose the weak people of this world. He chooses the insignificant, the cast-offs. You know, when he came to find a mother for his son, he didn't go to the beauty salons or the of Jerusalem. He you know what he did? He went to an obscure village named Nazareth to a very poor peasant girl named Mary. To the most obscure village there was in all of Israel, Nazareth. Could anything good come out of Nazareth? And yet that's what God chose. God chooses the weak, the people who realize that without him they're nothing. No matter who we are and no matter how much we have, without him, you're nothing. You're nothing. Without the knowledge of Jesus Christ and your relationship with God, you're nothing. No matter what job you hold to the President of the United States, you're insignificantly nothing without God and without Christ. No matter how great you may think you are. When Christ is born, he's not born in Mount Sinai Hospital in Jerusalem, surrounded by gynecologists and nurses and assistants. He's born in a stable with barn animals. He's laid in a manger. Do you can't get a concept of the reality that God chooses to do things. And don't try to find greatness in this world. Try to find your greatness in who you know, in knowing Jesus Christ, and in your relationship with the Father through him. That's where true greatness is. True greatness is in seeking the Lord. It's not in pastoring the biggest church. It's not in wearing the fanciest clothes or driving the fanciest cars. It's in knowing Christ. But the world looks down its nose and says, that's foolishness. And Paul says, the foolishness of God. The foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of this world. We don't see that way, though, do we? But love divine is a unique love. It seeks the brokenhearted people. Not the guy who's at the top, but the guy who's at the bottom. The brokenhearted. The person who, again, realizes their life is empty. You know who needs to hear that message? Here's somebody who needs to hear that message. And Mary Beth and those who, Adrian and Helen. You know, when you're in an orphanage in a foreign country, you know who gets adopted? It's the little children that get adopted. The child or the teenager, 12 and 13 year old teenager, they don't get adopted. They're going to be in that orphanage until adulthood and cast out into the streets. They need to hear that message that God loves the lowly. That God loves them very much. The woman, the wife who's lost her husband and is raising her children needs to hear the message that God hasn't forgotten her. The husband that's lost his wife at Christmas needs to know God hasn't forgotten him. God cares about the people who have brokenness in their life. He loves them. People who are lonely need to hear that God loves those who are weak and without strength. Church people need to hear that truth. We all need to hear that. We all have known at times feelings of rejection. All of us have known the feeling of being left out. Christmas comes, the light shines, and God says, you're important to me. And he made the announcement to shepherds. And he tells them, the weak, the lowly, that to you, the Savior is born. To you. A Savior who is Christ the Lord is born for you. And it's good news, and it's to be for all people. But I believe it's especially to the people who feel left out. Secondly, your life has new purpose because God loves you. Look at it with me. After the shepherds had heard the message of the angel back in Luke chapter 2, after they had heard the good news of great joy, which is to be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this shall be a sign to you, it says in verse 12, you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest in heaven, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. So it was that when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God, jumping up and down. Really jumping up and down and praising God for the things that they'd heard and seen as it was told them. I believe, secondly, once you understand the message that's to you, that you're given a new purpose in life. A new purpose for living. Now, unless you've never understood, or unless you've ever been in the shoes, and I've told you this, the shoes that I was in as a 21-year-old man, young man, and I was struggling to find why I was here on earth. You ever been purposeless? You ever been stuck in the routine of life without a purpose? Huh? You get up, you go to work, you punch the clock, you work your 8 hours, you punch the clock, you go home, you eat supper, you hit the recliner, you hit the button, and then you hit all kinds of buttons through the night. And then you go to bed, you watch the news maybe, you go to bed and you get up, and the alarm goes off, and here we go again. You know, people who live without a life purpose in relationship with God are empty. Do you ever feel like your life is purposeless? I believe those shepherds would have sat around the campfire most nights thinking, man, there's got to be more to life than this. Huh? There's got to be more to life than this. You know what I'm saying? There's got to be more to life than this. The routine of life. You know, America celebrates some funny holidays. We celebrate some great holidays, such as the 4th of July. We celebrate Memorial Day to honor our veterans. 4th of July, we celebrate Veterans Day. We celebrate all kinds of... We celebrate birthdays of presidents. Martin Luther King's Day. We celebrate a lot of holidays. But do you ever think about Groundhog Day? All the things to recognize. I mean, it makes national news. Groundhog's Day in Punxsutawney. But do you remember the movie, Bill Murray in the movie of Groundhog's Day? Bill Murray in that movie, he relives his life every day being Groundhog's Day. He's a news reporter, goes to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, and his life is replayed over and over and over and over again, day after day. And it's driving him crazy. But you know, that's purposelessness. There's more to life than what you're doing in this world without Christ. And here's the difference to the shepherds. I believe the shepherds had a new purpose for living from the message they heard that night from the angel. And they had a purpose for living that brought them internal joy, internal substance, and brought them a purpose for living. And unless I experienced that, and that's probably why I'm a pastor today, is because I experienced for the first time meaning in life when I came to hear the gospel of Jesus, that he died for my sins, that he was put into a tomb, and he rose again. And he saved me, and he gave me a whole new life. From top to bottom, he gave me a whole new life. And I now had something to live for. And I'm going to tell you something. You'll never find satisfaction in the 9-to-5. You'll never find eternal satisfaction in living for your family, as wonderful as that is. Because you were made for a different purpose. You were made for a purpose of a relationship with God. I was reading of a man. I'd like to read you a story in closing. This man said, I was one lost sheep at a point in my life at 44 years of age in which I found myself in a constant state of anxiety, suffering anxiety attacks on a regular basis. I was in deep financial debt, was diagnosed with mild depression, and basically I had lost my focus on living. Though I had a good job, it felt like I was walking around without a purpose in life. My inner spirit was dead and I had lost all hope. I was in a 12-year relationship with a wonderful woman whom I loved very much and was hoping one day that we would get married. Getting remarried was a priority in my life and my heart's desire. I knew deep down in my heart that marriage was most probably not on her agenda. This too played a role in my anxiety. One weekend, while talking with a dear friend and his ex-wife about some of his problems, she witnessed to me about the grace of God and the love of Jesus Christ. She also gave me a book to read about the reason for hope. After going home, I started to read this book, and I felt the hand of God, the very love of God, touching me as I was reading. When I came to a paragraph about how God knows each of our exact circumstances and that He will allow you to experience these things when He knows you're ready, I finally accepted Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior. There was a transformation that started to take place, and within a matter of a few hours, Jesus Christ had delivered me from all my anxiety and depression, and had restored my mental and physical health. I knew that this change in me could only come from one place, one person, God. I felt peace and inner strength that I had not experienced before. It felt like the weight of the world was lifted off of my shoulders. I didn't know what to do from that point. All I know is that I had a keen desire to read the Bible. I suddenly had a new reverence for God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Later in the week, I knew God was laying on my heart to have a discussion with my girlfriend that I had been putting off for many years. He gave me sufficient grace and strength to express to her my desire that for our relationship to continue, we would need to seriously consider marriage. She told me she never wanted to get married. And I remember that as I walked out her door, I realized that God had given me grace that He knew I needed. My life has changed dramatically. I now have a purpose for living. God led me into seminary, and I am serving the Lord in my local church. God is so real, it's as if I could reach out and touch Him at times. And I have committed my life to Him, to spending time with Him daily, and to try to live my life is a witness to His love for me, that I might bring Him glory and bring blessings to others. He says, I still fall flat on my face, but He just reaches down and picks me up and washes me with the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. My faith in God has led me to believe that whatever happens in my life, no matter how bad my circumstances become, I know that I will always have His joy and peace available to me, and that He will guide me through and around every roadblock along the way. What better way to go through life than to have someone as great and almighty as our Lord Jesus Christ watching over me and leading me into a plan that He has set out long before creation? God's Word says that He cannot fail. God's Word says that He can't fail in unfolding His plan for me. He will continue this good work until the day of Jesus Christ. I don't know who that man is. He's Stephen M. But when I read his testimony, I thought,
He found life. He found purpose. And the truth of the matter is, he was at a place of brokenness. He was at a place of brokenness in his life. These shepherds were not good people. They were not wealthy people. But they were people that God chose to reveal himself to the first Christmas. The biggest event in history when Jesus Christ was born into this world. And he chose the lowly people. Are you like that? Do you know you're broken and you need a new life? Jesus Christ can give you that life. Let's pray. Father, use the weakness of this myself, but the truth that you do choose the weak things and the weak people of this world. And we need to see ourselves as nothing without you, no matter who we are or what position in life we are, that we are nothing without you. And I just pray that, Lord, we would live dependent upon you every day. Help the people who run companies to live dependent upon you every day. Help the people who punch the clock to live dependent upon you every day and to serve you with purpose in everything they do, knowing that they serve the Lord Christ. And help us to, like the shepherds, fulfill the purpose of announcing to everyone around us a Savior of all mankind is born. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, you'd work in our hearts through this message. In Jesus, your name.